Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Happy Father's Day. I get in trouble every Father's Day and Mother's Day every Mother's Day anyway, because everybody asks me, what'd you get your wife for Mother's Day? And I say the same thing. She's not my mother. So, not a good answer. But I'm just so glad to be here to begin with at all. I have the whole day off to be in church I was disappointed because at Miyajima we hit traffic and I missed part of the Japanese service. And I was telling Midori, I want to be in church. I got the day off. I don't want to be sitting in traffic. And we made it a little late, and we got here in time for Pastor Hiroshi's sermon about Charlie Brown and Snoopy and Peanuts and Father's Day events. It was very unique and very good sermon. I'm glad to be here, too. And as you know, usually I don't, pay much attention to holidays. I just preach, whatever. But just so happened last month when I was available, it was Mother's Day, and I preached, which was unusual for me. I preached on Mother's Day. And today I do have a Father's Day message, and we'll see if we can learn together. Let's go to God in prayer. God, you're so good. You do much, much more than we could ever imagine or hope for. You're our Father, and we're so grateful. Open up our hearts, our minds, change us. Father, change us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm happy to be part of the group called Fathers. I have two sons, a 26-year-old will be 27 in September, and he lives at home, as you know, and works about a 20-minute walk away from our home. He works near the base. And I have a 23-year-old who we prayed for today, who is a student at UCSD, San Diego, school in San Diego, and he's been a student forever, I think, but we'll let him study for another year or so. He's been doing good. And a few weeks ago, Midori came home and said, Kevin, where's Swaziland? And I said, what are you talking about? I don't know where Swaziland is. And she said, well, I was at church today, and Chris told me that Casey's going to Swaziland, and give me details. And I said, what? He didn't bother to tell Mom and Dad. He just... his church, San Diego First Assembly, sponsors a missionary who works with AIDS patients in orphans, basically in Swaziland. And the church said, anybody want to go this summer? We're sponsoring a team. And Casey just felt like God told him to go. And he said, Chris sent him an email and said, getting prayer requests? And he said, yeah, I might go to Swaziland. And that's how we found out about it, through Chris. Shows you who he trusts, huh? So that's where on Friday, Japan time Friday, he left for about a 26-hour flight from San Diego to Manzini, Swaziland. So, and he told us a couple of days before he left, no contact till I get back. So we don't know where he is. But he might be in Italy somewhere at the airport. I don't know. But he was on his way to Swaziland, and when he gets back, he will give us a report, and he'll give you a report. Actually, I'd like to ask him to teach in the English service sometimes, but that's my desires. I'm coming to get my water, so I'm not going to walk around and preach. I wish I could do that, but you see those TV preachers who walk around the room, with no notes, and they're preaching. Wow. I'd have to walk around and go. Praise God. Well, Father's Day. I'd like to talk today about Father's Day gifts, but we're going to look at some scriptures and some thoughts about, what we give as gifts to our fathers. But more important than that, I think we need to look at what our Heavenly Father gives to us. If you want to read along with me. This is from James chapter 1, verses 17 through 18. You can open up your Bibles and follow along, or this is right out of the NIV. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. Amen. So God, our Father, gives us good gifts. Well, you know, this morning Hiroshi said he was reading through some Peanuts cartoons. Charles Schulz wrote the Peanuts comic strip for over 40 years, I think, and he said he saw one that was June 21st, you know, and it was slightly related to Father's Day, and so that's how he decided what he was going to preach on Father's Day. Well, the other day I was waxing my car, praying about my message, and when I was waxing my car, I remembered giving my dad a can of car wax for Chris for Father's Day, and so God said, "Okay, Kevin, there's your message." And I went, "Oh boy, how am I going to work this one out?" You know. Well, what I did was I went downtown with all $5 or $6 that I had saved for Father's Day, and I knew my dad had a truck that he loved, a black 1966 Ford F-150 twin I-beam suspension pickup. It was beautiful, and it was so black, and it had red stripes on the side, and I knew he loved to clean that thing, and I knew he loved turtle wax. Well, when I went to buy turtle wax, it would have taken just about all of my $6, so I got him I went to the dollar store instead and got him a can of car wax. Who knows what brand it was? And when I gave it to him for Father's Day, he looked at it, and I know he wanted to say, "I'd like to give it back to you so you can go out and polish my truck." I know that's what he was thinking, but he didn't. He took it. He said, "Wow, thank you. I'm going to use that as soon as I can." He loved that truck. And I went online to try to find a JPEG of that truck, but I couldn't. Beautiful truck. So I gave my dad a $1 can of car polish. What a son, huh? Other presents, socks, neckties. I appreciate neckties. I have probably 100, and I could use 100 more. I don't care. I love neckties. I'll take them anytime. Good present, but that's about all I ever gave. I couldn't remember anything else I gave my dad but these three gifts. See, some of the, you know, I'm a father of two boys, as I mentioned, and here are some of the gifts I've received. I was quite an avid fisherman and took my sons fishing. I got tons of fishing lures as my sons grew up. My eldest son's first miracle was when he was buying me a fishing lure one day. He asked me to take him on a bus from one part of Hiroshima, when we lived in Hiroshima, to a fishing shop in the center of Hiroshima. And he was a little bitty guy at this time. And he had his little wallet and his little spending money in there, and he was going to buy Daddy a lure. We got on a bus on one part of Hiroshima, and we went and we got off right by Hiroshima Station. And when we got off the bus took off, and he said, "Dad, I left my wallet on the bus." And I went, "Oh, Bellamy, let's pray right now." "Okay. Jesus, please help us to get that wallet back somehow. Amen."
Amen.
"But Dad, you're present." I said, I'll buy it and you can pay me back when we get your wallet." Faith, right? We went, I picked out my chrome lure with blue on the top, you know, bass fishing lure. I was happy. He didn't look so happy, but we got it. A couple hours talking to the guys at the fishing shop. We got back on the bus, and Bellamy ran straight to the back of the bus and picked up his wallet off the floor. That bus had been around Hiroshima how many times? I don't know, for 2 or 3 hours, and he picked up his wallet, his first miracle, personal miracle. Fishing lures, neckties, my favorite beverages. You know, I was a Dr. Pepper freak for years, root beer and Dr. Pepper, and we couldn't get it here in Japan. But boy, when my sons got me a Dr. Pepper or a six-pack of Dr. Pepper, I was a happy guy. Father's Day cards. That's what I get from Casey now that he's in America, Father's Day cards. And they're usually pretty funny cards. So I appreciate them. Shirts. Not this one, but I've gotten shirts for Father's Day. Happy about that. When I write my dad's, when I was 8 years old, my dad died in an accident, just so you'll know. So my mom remarried, so I write dad's here. So my fathers were both very hardworking men. Very hardworking men. They just worked 6 days a week. My stepdad worked 6 days a week without fail. And if mom didn't yell at him, he'd be out doing work-related things on Sunday as well. And she'd yell and he'd come in and try to relax. My other dad worked offshore. He was a roughneck. He worked on an oil platform. And he was a shift kind of worker. He'd work seven on, seven off, seven on, 14 out, seven back, and things like that. So sometimes he wasn't around, but those two men gave me and my brothers and my sister and my mom everything we needed, everything in our lives. We had a home. We had good food. We had cars. I mean, it wasn't perfect. It wasn't beautiful. It wasn't great luxury, but they were working hard to provide for us. And you know what? I didn't go and help Dad on the oil platform. And my stepdad was a farm equipment mechanic. I tagged along with him some Saturdays just to see what he was doing and to play out and throw sticks in the water and stuff while he was working. But he did all of that. They did all of that without any help from me. Food to eat, place to sleep, security. There was my dad. You know, I knew he was going to somehow bring home that paycheck and say, here, Mom. That's what both my dads called my mother, Mom. And they'd give him that, my mom, that check, and we were, we can eat for another couple of weeks. It was good. It was good. You know, and I never, ever thought to say to either of my dads, hey, Dad, I just switched on the lights, and they worked. Thank you for paying the electric bill. I never did that. Turn on the faucet, water came out, Dad. Thanks for paying the water bill. Never thought about doing it. I just took it for granted. Hot water, all right. Open the shower, Dad, water's hot, thanks. Never did any of that. They still provided, no matter how ungrateful I might have been, they did it. They took care of us. We were so glad to see them when they'd come home. My original dad, who died when I was 8, was a hulk of a man, big, strong guy, big old arms. And, you know, he was, from here up, he was white as could be, but just dark brown from here, and face was dark brown. And he always wore a white T-shirt. He'd come home from, you know, being away for a week or 2 weeks on the oil platforms. And I can remember running as fast as I could and jumping into those big arms, just a little bitty guy, skinny. And he'd hug me, and he'd rub his whiskers on my face, you know, like, oh, stop it. And I loved it, you know. Yeah, I loved it. And then, as I said, he died in an accident. One day, one Christmas I went to spend with some friends of my family's for maybe Christmas Day. And on the 28th of December, they got a phone call and said, Kevin, get in the car. We're going back to your home. Your mother needs to talk to you. What in the world? 3-hour drive from Houston, Texas, to my home in southwest Louisiana. And Mom told me that my security was gone. Dad had died in an accident. 8 years old. Kevin, Daddy's dead. No, he's big and strong. And he hugs me and he brings home the check. Gone. My security's gone. You know, and it stayed like that for a couple of years until Mom remarried. But it was quite a shock. We loved our dad. We loved him. We loved our stepdad as well. He's a great man, great provider. Gave me everything for life. And, you know, we're talking about Father's Day and giving gifts, but our fathers give to us. They provide for us. They meet our needs. And so, too, does our Heavenly Father give us everything we need for life. Sal Rose's testimony about, you know, saying that the fathers of her children have never really taken the responsibility to take care of them, but she's realized, and if you saw in the bulletin, she wrote that she appreciates her Heavenly Father so much. And I do too. Today, every Father's Day, I'm so grateful for the dads that God gave me, my earthly fathers, but it helps me more to reflect on my Heavenly Father. So I really like this day because for me, it's a time to say a special thanks to my Heavenly Father. And I realize that He does give us everything for life. And I was just sitting down reading the scripture the other day and typing in a few messages. And some of these are some of the things. Can you see them okay? I guess you can. What our Heavenly Father gives us: mercy, grace, love, strength, forgiveness, security, protection. He gave us His Son, His only Son. Through His Son we have salvation. He gives us His Holy Spirit without limit. He gives us success. He gives us the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now these are all scriptures, all taken right out of the Old Testament and the New Testament. These are all, not all of them, not all of the gifts God gives us, but these are all based right in the Bible. You can find that God does all of these, gives all of these to us. These are all His gifts. Similar to my earthly dad, right? My earthly dad was merciful with me. He gave me grace. You know, I didn't help do anything around the house, but, you know, and I was pretty bad sometimes, but He still fed me. He still gave me electricity. You know, still did all those things for me. He loved me. He had strength. You know, He forgave me when I was bad. He protected me, etc. Pretty good list, huh? How about some more? What didn't I put up there that might have popped into your head? What does our Heavenly Father give us? Any more? Yes. Say it again, one more time. Ah, He listens. Wow, that's a gift. It's a gift. He answers. He listens and He answers. All right. Anything else?
Joy.
Thank you.
Wisdom.
Anything else? Muffins. Oh, that's... Thank you. That's right. There you go. Last week, Peggy said, you know, we should share stuff like pies and stuff. And I said, what kind of pies? Yeah. Praise God. Yeah. Anything else? Anybody else? Peace. All right. I like that.
Healing.
Ooh, that one was good. Yeah.
Victory.
Amen. Oh. Anybody else? Somebody got their Bible open now.
Salvation.
Thank God for the gift of salvation, huh? All right. Well, today, you know, God really wants us to get excited about the gifts He gives us. And He wants us to realize that He is a gift giver. He loves to give gifts to His children. And He gives gifts to you before you're His child as well. I know He did to me. And that you've heard my testimony. He answered my prayer before I got saved so that I would realize His love. It was a gift to me. He said, okay. Now, I don't have to answer this prayer, you know, you little dirty sinner down there in California. You know, you didn't say that. But, you know, I was an unbeliever. And I said, okay, God, I messed up. If you're really Jesus Christ, if you're really God, you help me out. And miracle on the spot, answered my prayer. And I went, okay, now I'm in trouble. You know. But I got saved, you know. So I really want us, God wants us today to begin to realize He is our gift giver, but He wants us to keep one thing in mind as you realize He is your gift giver. God is our Father, but He's not our genie. All right? Anybody knows what a genie is? This is the Robin Williams version. It's a good movie, though. Robin Williams, genie. My wife asked me how to say that in Japanese. Man, I don't know. Whew. Genie. Oh, by the way, for those of you who are my age, I found another one that you might help you. God is our Father, not our Barbara Eden genie. Yeah, both good programs, though. But what do I mean by this? Do we treat God as our genie sometimes? What's a genie, right? Genie is a guy who lives in a little bitty lamp. You know, you find him somewhere on a distant shore. You rub the lamp, and out he pops. And he's not your Lord. You're his Lord. And you tell him what you want. And, you know, in some of the older movies and stories, you got three wishes. You know, if you messed them up, then you're in real trouble, you know. But basically, the genie of the lamp, that kind of story, is just a magician of sorts, a kind of witch that, you know, you ask him whatever you want, and he has to grant it. And you don't have to do anything. You are not responsible at all. You don't have to follow him. As a matter of fact, he has to follow you. You create the situation. You make the rules. But God is our Father. He is our Dad. He makes the rules. He sets the standards. And He gives us what we need. Not exactly what we want for our own pleasure. That's what a genie is. God is not a genie. He's our Father. But God's gifts are always good. Always good. He's our heavenly Dad. Daddy, Daddy, give me fish. Here's a snake. God doesn't do that. God, give me what I need. He's right there, more than you can imagine you needed. He gives in excess of what you need. Because He's your Dad. He's your Dad. My dad used to come home with bags of groceries and vegetables and meat, and, you know, we could barely afford it. And he'd lay them out on the table, and we're kind of going, oh, I wish there was something for us. And he'd reach behind him and pull out a little tiny box of ice cream. You know, ice cream, yeah. Good. My dad's so good. He loves me. I didn't even ask. And he bought me ice cream. Father's gifts are always good. The Father's gifts are always in line with His Word. If you think you have a gift from heaven and it's not in line with His Word, you better go back to the book. The Father's gifts are seldom exclusively for the receiver. Okay? As a Christian, you don't get gifts that are just for you. For the most part. It might be a rare occasion. But usually it has more wide range of effect on the body of Christ. And the Father's gifts are not always what we expect. Let's look at these individually. The scripture that we looked at earlier today. His gifts are always good. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above. Coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Let's reverse this verse, the way this verse is lined up, and You can see it in some languages, in Japanese and in Greek, where it's actually reversed. The Heavenly Father doesn't change like shifting shadows. And every gift that He gives is good and perfect. Right? God doesn't give junk. He doesn't give you something that's going to work out later. It's not working right now, but it's going to work out later. God gives you good stuff, perfect stuff. God's gifts are good and perfect because He's good and perfect. And He doesn't change. The world changes. People change. Situations change. God doesn't change. He is not imperfect. He's not tacky. He gives good and perfect gifts. He is your Heavenly Father. He's not your genie. Doesn't change. He'll always give you good and perfect gifts. That's the kind of Father we should celebrate today. Father who loves us so much, He's not going to give us junk. God's gifts are in line with His Word. You might ask, well, what'd you choose this verse for? Well, let's think about it a little bit. Matthew 4:4 says, Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of our Heavenly Father." Why did I choose this? Well, a lot of times in our walk with God, we make decisions about this or that, about this career move or that career move, about this relation or that relation. And too often, I'm guilty of it, and Christians around me make their decisions based on what a friend said, or what society thinks, or what the current fashion is. And they forget to check it out in God's Word. And they say, well, God led me to this decision. Well, God brought me over here. And it has little or nothing to do with God, because God's gifts are good and perfect. And now you're in trouble. But the Word of God doesn't change. God doesn't change. And we, as believers, are to live not on bread, not on what society says, not on what your friend tells you, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God. That's God's gift to us. The Word of God. It doesn't change. The Bible. You can depend on it. You can stand on it. You can trust it. You can eat it. You can believe it. You better believe it. You don't have any other foundation as a Christian except the Word of God. The very fact that you're saved, you know from what the Bible tells you. The very fact that you're saved and going to heaven comes from the Bible. So which part of the Bible don't you want to believe? This part. I don't like this. Let me cut this out. It's not what Matthew 4:4 says. We live on part of the word that comes out of the mouth of God. That's not what I read. Every word. Okay, just checking. Wanted to make sure the connection was good. Every word that comes out of the mouth of God. The Bible, from cover to cover, is God's word. He gave us His word. And that's how we're to live. God's gifts don't fall outside of that. Well, I know what the Bible says, but this is a different situation. No, it ain't. It's not. God can't deny Himself. If God denies Himself, then none of this is true. God, you know, God can do anything. No, He can't. He cannot lie. And if He goes against His word, then He's lying. And my God doesn't lie. God doesn't lie. Okay. Gifts of God, gifts that the Father gives, are not exclusively for the receiver. What's this mean? Well, I think there's a principle in the entirety of the Word of God. It's more true in the New Testament than the Old Testament because it's come to completion. Okay? Now, just a little background. The church at Corinth was having some big problems. They were a mess. They were fighting. They were arguing. They were siding with different teachers in the church. They were having a lot of problems. They were filled with pride. God was blessing them with all kinds of wonderful spiritual gifts, but they weren't using them in the right way, and things were just getting bad. And they were using the gifts to puff themselves up in the older English that we find in King James and things like that. They were getting proud because they had been given gifts by God. They were in a church situation. There were tongues and interpretation. They could interpret it. They understood what the heavenly language was. They were exhorting other people and thought, "Well, I'm pretty good. You know, I can speak in tongues." You know, and that kind of thing. And it was proud. So what Paul did, he wrote to them and brought them back to the basic principles of what the entirety of Scripture has been teaching anyway. Can I have Bible? I always do this. If you want to turn with me, I didn't put it on the slide because it's quite long. Let me turn to this and read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verses 4 through 11. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now, to each one of the manifestations of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. And all these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And he gives them to each one just as he determines, just as our Heavenly Father determines. We don't determine what we're going to do, when we're going to do it, how we're going to do it. God determines. So we have two principles. We have two principles at work here. God gives us good gifts in the body. God answers our prayers. God heals us. God delivers us. God changes us. God blesses us financially for the common good. I believe this is a principle that is taught throughout the Scripture. Here we find it happening within the body in a Sunday service. But Paul was just saying, look, this is a principle that's laid out in Scripture. It's nothing new, guys. And here it's applied also to the spiritual gifts specifically. And important principle number two, we see in the last verse, verse 11 that I read. Also, you can see it in verse 18 and later on in verse 15 in the chapter. God determines it. God decides what the gift is, who's going to use the gift, and how it's going to bless the church, and when the church needs it, when. So whatever God does in your life, however God blesses you, it's a good thing for you to get up here and testify. It's a good thing for you to call somebody and say, this is what God's doing in my life. If you've got muffins, share them. Ah. Whatever. If God blesses you financially, if God gives you a heart to go to Swaziland, go. God blesses you with musical talent. God wants you to use it for the common good. And God determines what we need, when we need it. God's gifts are good. They're perfect. And he decides. and he uses them for the common good. Next point. God's gifts are not always what we expect. Is that right? You ever prayed for something and got something completely different? Yeah. Yeah. But this is the kind of gift we expect from God, right? When we pray, ask the Lord for rain in the springtime. It is the Lord who makes the storm clouds. He gives showers of rain to men and plants of the fields to everyone. There shall be showers of blessings. Bring them. I forget. Never mind. It's too old for me. Roy, you have to play that for us someday. When Midori and I had our picture in the hallway there when we did our second wedding on our 21st wedding anniversary. Actually, about a month ago, we had our 31st anniversary. On our 21st wedding anniversary, we had a wedding ceremony again here. We had our Kekkon Kakuninshiki, our affirmation after 21 years. And we had that song played. And Pastor Hiroshi said, what a crazy song. He said it's in front of the whole church. What a crazy song for a wedding. But Kevin and Midori wanted it, so there shall be showers of blessings. But this is the kind of gift that we expect, right? We ask God for something good. He gives us something good, something wonderful. Good blessings, yes. Wonderful, feels so good. Thank you, Jesus. Good ones. You give me good things. Now, our definition of good and God's definition of good might be different. All right? Let's look at something else. Not always what we expect. This is not the kind of gift we expect from God. Now, we have to look at this carefully. This is from Isaiah chapter 30. Now, God was speaking to the people of Israel, a rebellious people. They had chased away all their prophets, in other words, their pastors of the day, right? Their prophets were telling them, go this way, do this, follow God, don't do that. If you do, God's really going to be angry. And they were shooting the messenger. They were chasing away all their prophets, and they weren't hearing from God anymore. And finally, the enemy had beaten them up so bad, and they were so desperate that they turned back to God. Well, how'd they get desperate, and how'd they turn back to God? Let's read this scripture. O people of Zion, who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. They've repented. They've turned back to God now. You will weep no more. How gracious he will be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. Although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teachers, your prophets, pastors, will be hidden no more. With your own eyes, you will see them. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Now, what did God give them? What a Father's Day gift these children got. They got the bread of adversity and the waters of affliction. They were in trouble. They were in pain. God gave them the bread of adversity. When we ask God for gifts, we want good ones. We want showers of blessings. We want that bank account to grow. We want that good car. We want good blessings. But let me tell you something. If you veered off the path, God loves you so much. Your Heavenly Father loves you so much. And He doesn't mind afflicting you to get you back on the path. He doesn't mind letting you hurt a little bit so that you will come back to Him. He did it for the children of Israel. If things are not going good right now in your job, in your relationships with others, and you're wondering what's going on, you better check yourself out spiritually. Not all adversity and affliction comes from bad choices. Sometimes just the opposite. When you live for Christ, you're afflicted, right? That's what the world does to you. That's not what I'm talking about, and that's not what this scripture is talking about. The Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction. What happened to this group of people here? Look at this text. They finally said, okay, I'm coming back to you. And the prophet said, okay, then you're going to hear the voice. This is the way. Walk in it. You better follow him. That's the way it goes. God rescues you. It's time to follow him again. It's not only in the Old Testament. I'm going to close with a thought from James chapter 4 and Hebrews chapter 12. I'm not going to read it. You can take it, read it at home. James chapter 4, James is really upset with a group of New Testament believers. And he says, you bunch of adulterers, I can't believe you. He's really upset. He's angry. He says, don't you know that the Holy Spirit of your heavenly Father is intensely jealous? He's not happy when you turn away. And then he says, he'll give you more grace. Isn't that just unbelievable? With the children of Israel in this scripture, as many times as they turned away and they turned back, God welcomed them and gave them even more. Loved them even more. That's the gift of the Heavenly Father. Make a mistake. Make a wrong choice. Keep coming back. Turn back. Run back to the arms of your Heavenly Father. When you turn back, our Heavenly Father's gifts are more grace and more abundant. Now, we could be really crazy, like the church at Rome, and say, oh, maybe I should sin more then. No. That's not at all what God had in mind. He loves us so much. He's so glad when we repent and come back to him that he gives us more grace. And Paul said, he gives me more and more abundantly, more than ever before. It's overflowing, is what Paul was trying to say. Abundantly. Come back to Jesus. Come back to your Heavenly Father, and he'll give you more grace. So the gifts of the Father we can see are plenty. We named so many today, and we talked about just a few. But it's a good time, this Father's Day, to remember all the good things, all the good gifts our Heavenly Father has given us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you love us so much. Lord, you never turn your face away from us, even though we treat you as a genie at times. We want what we want, and that's it. When you give it to us, we take it and we walk away without being thankful. Or we choose wrong gifts and blame you for putting them in front of us. We want our way, Lord, not your way. Yet, Lord, when we are afflicted, when you allow us to be afflicted, or even when you cause the adverse things in our life, and we come back to you, Lord, you give us even more grace than we experienced before. You love your children. You give us breath in our lungs. You give us sleep. You give us health. You give us a way to provide for our families. And too often we just walk away without saying thanks. But today, Lord, Heavenly Father, I want to say happy Father's Day to you. Dear God, thank you for being my Father. Thank you for being our Father. Thank you for providing all our needs. even the hard lessons. Thank you, Lord, for those hard, difficult lessons of adversity as well. We thank you that all your gifts are good and perfect, even the adversity. Lord, let us always be drawn back to you when we turn away. Lord, keep us close to you. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you for being here today. It's good to see you all again. I hope that in July and August we can spend more time together. The wedding season slows down. I'm glad to be here. God bless you.